Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
I'm going to listen to this podcast. I don't need to pay the, you know, money to join this program. That, man, you're bringing me back to a time that just hurts so much. And it was just, it was so much work for so little output. Where do I really want to be in life? What do I really want to do in life? What is my goal for this life? So I started my business. I did a terrible job at it. I didn't go to college to be a business owner. This is friggin' awesome. I know how much this is going to cost for me to run a successful business. And the track record has absolutely proven that. Oh my God, I can't believe I just spent so much money to be in this program. 2 months later, my revenue nearly doubled.
On today's episode, I interview Mitch Janus from Janus Electrical in Salem, New Hampshire, who is a member of the Million Dollar Tradie Program and has made some massive improvements in his business. Now, Mitch is a super humble guy who's faced some huge challenges that nearly burnt him out. Now, Mitch's story is inspirational as it shows what can be built with the right knowledge, support, and the right action. You don't want to miss this episode if you're stuck with your business and you need the inspiration to make the changes that you know you need to. You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. We will help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button, and let's get started. To the podcast. Alrighty, welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Excited about today. And they say that success leaves clues. And on today's episode of the podcast, I'm interviewing Mitch Janus from Janus Electrical. Mitch, welcome. How are you going?
Hey, Tony. Pleasure to be here, man. Life is good.
Yeah, looking forward to hanging out today. We're going to have a good time. Mate, I was going back through our notes from when you first joined the Million Dollar Tradie Program and make some interesting reading. I think it was in sort of August 2023, so about a year ago. And I think you'd been in business for around 18 months. And I think it's fair to say that business was a little harder than you thought it was going to be. Monthly revenue was sort of around $30,000 a month, and the profit and the cash was, let's say, it was a little bit on the low side, making things pretty stressful, and pretty much everything was relying on you to make it happen. Mate, it's good to be here. What I'd love to do is, can you talk us through why it was actually important for you to make some changes and get help when you did?
Man, you're bringing me back to a time that just hurt so much, and it was just, it was so much work for so little output. I would say, you know, between the 70 to 90 hour weeks, whether it be on the tools or, you know, on the books or on the, you know, getting the materials or getting the jobs or doing all of the things, wearing all of the hats, man, it was just, it was exhausting and impossible to turn off. Every night I go to bed sweating about what's going to happen tomorrow. Am I going to make this deadline? Am I going to get enough work? Am I going to make enough money? You know, what are my numbers? I didn't even know what my numbers were. Crazy, just crazy.
You know, how did it affect you, I guess, is what I'd love to know. How did it actually make you feel and affect your experience of life and business?
Man, that's the question. I'll tell you, I was in a position working for a contractor. I had a really good job. I was good at it. Everything was great, but I was always looking out the window, knowing that there was more for me. I went from being the absolute best electrician that I know personally, you know, not bragging, but just been doing it a long, long time. I'm a third generation electrician. So, I mean, this comes second nature to me, problem solving and all that stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I can figure out how to run a business. I'll figure it out, you know? So month after month after month, I'm chiseling by and being, you know, grinding, building the business, building my name, trying to be the best and the cheapest. And, you know, those two things right there, the best and the cheapest, just cannot be in the same sentence if you want to be successful. And it took me until joining Profitable Tradie to just realize how much being the best costs and how much being the best is actually worth. And, you know, absolute mind-blowing changes with, you know, everything that comes with what we've done so far.
Sorry to take you back to that, because it is, you feel a bit like you got PTSD when you go back there in some ways. I know. So what I'd love to know is, can you tell us about how the business actually looks now? So the changes that you've seen, you know, in terms of how the business has grown, how your revenues change, your profitability, your team, the structure, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I went from being by myself with help sometimes, with no idea what numbers were, no idea what I was aiming for, no real goals, no real structure, no path to get to where I was going. And today, you know, with the team and the coaches and just everybody, we've been able to scale to myself plus three technicians plus an office admin, and I just recently hired onboarded a marketing admin to help me get that all that stuff running better and move the needle. And you know, just cash flow is there. Job look forward is something that we're going to be working with the marketing, but you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and each of these things that I've gone through the course of the program, I like to call them extinction behaviors. So basically what's happening with me is I'm letting a small part of me go that refused to let go of the tools, refused to let go of this part, refused to let go of this part. And every time I let go of a small portion, we call those low value tasks, which may not have low impact, but they are low value. So learning that process and learning what to let go of, especially, you know, my main thing back before the Louisiana boot camp. And then this was one of the things, like I planned to be on that boot camp and I had to go away. So I needed somebody to answer phones. I needed somebody to do things. So I was like, man, I really just have to pull the trigger on getting an admin. While I was away, more things happened than when I was home. So it's like, man, I let go of some of that. And, you know, obviously we build scripts and we do things based on a roadmap that you provide us and, you know, the courses. So, you know, each time I let go of pieces of things that I don't need to be doing, the number just jumps every month. And it's incredible because you're taking on more responsibility. You're taking on another tradesman. You're taking on more work. You're taking, you know, this OPEX, operating expenses are going up, but you're, the OPEX percentage is 28% or 34%, whatever a number is per month. But the 28% is 28% of 30,000, 28% of 60,000, 28% of 100,000, 28% of a million. That number is just, you know, compounds going up. But at the same time, I understand what those numbers are and I know what I'm shooting for now. Whereas before it was just aiming blind.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because there's that whole challenge of growing a business and thinking about, well, can I afford to get this new hire or this piece of tech or whatever it is? And I think we're all caught in that thing of, I can't afford it. But the thing is, if you don't do it, you never grow because you don't have the capacity. And I think your experience there, I've seen it many times, is when you actually make those decisions, hire the admin or get some extra help there, a bunch of new stuff gets done and you're freed up to work on stuff that will actually grow the business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the craziest part of the journey with Profitable Trady for me has been how much is available that's already been done, and the people on the Q&As and the webinars that we do every Monday night. And, you know, basically just what's there for us, you know, respectfully, is access to people that are, you know, four steps behind us that might be doing something that's 10 steps ahead of us better, but they're not doing the steps that we're doing next. So the ability to be in relationships with high level people and even the newcomers, because I mean, just a year ago I was struggling, drowning, and now I feel like, I mean, I talk to the guys that are in boardroom now and it's just like, oh my God, you guys are like, you're spot on with what I need to do. And it's like, I'm surrounded by people that know exactly what I'm saying and they know how to, they're letting me speak because they've lived it. And they're kind of like, just, we all kind of have this resolve where we talk and we forget that we did come so far to get to where we are today. When we talk to somebody who is where we were or where we want to be, we get this release of endorphins or, you know, this pleasure feeling that's like, oh man, I'm talking to Tony on this podcast. Tony is the reason why I was able to get to where I am today. And this is like sort of like celebrity-esque to me, but you know what I need to do and you're providing me the way to get there. And I guess I would just say that all of the pieces of the puzzle together make perfect sense. But if you have the middle piece of the puzzle and the end piece and all this and they're all scattered, you know, basically what Profitable Trady has been able to do for me is like, you know, we'll start with my numbers, we'll get all the edges done. And now as our, you know, program works, you know, you start at your systems, your tech, your, you know, marketing and your, you know, all the, the bars that would go through the graph, you know, and start with the smallest one that's going to make the biggest impact. So if we start with our puzzle and we're filling in this side and we're going through, you know, not that profitable trading ever ends really, because I feel like I want to be a part of this for as long as it is. And, you know, that puzzle is just going to have more layers than, you know, it started off as a 1,000-piece puzzle, but I feel like if you add 4,000 pieces to it, you add 10,000 pieces to it, and those pieces are actually dollars that you're adding to your bank account.
Yeah, I think you've hit on something there that's very powerful, Mitch, is that I think a lot of business owners and, you know, contracting businesses, trading businesses, they know some of the stuff they need to do, but they don't know where to start or which order to do it in. And I think something that that we've certainly helped people with is when there's a roadmap and there's a process to follow and certain steps in certain order, makes a huge difference. And it gives you a feeling of confidence that you can actually, you know, crack on and make this sort of stuff happen to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I found your podcast because I was looking for something. I needed something. I have this innate feeling inside my brain that I want all of the information that I can possibly have. And I go on these trips down information lanes. And when I found your podcast, I listened to it while running. I was, you know, trying to move through some of the stress and, you know, stay healthy in that respect. And then I was like, oh, I can do that. And then, you know, obviously all of these things, they're not like I can listen to, you know, two or three of your podcasts in a week, but every topic that you're talking about is, you know, effectively a portion of a 6-week program, or like that's not attainable today. That's a goal over a period of time, and without conscious effort and without support and without structure and perseverance, you're not going to make any of those things happen unless your coach or your, I mean, if you can do it yourself, then more power to you. I mean, I was like, I'm going to listen to this podcast. I don't need to pay the, you know, money to join this program. That. And basically what happened was the moment I signed up for the program, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just spent so much money to be in this program. And then just 2 months later, my revenue nearly doubled. And the money that I would have made, I already made from starting to learn my numbers and getting it back. And then I'm starting to scale. So your course, as far as I'm concerned, was paid for 4 months into the program, 5 months into the program, respectfully.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the aim. And for most people, that's actually pretty simple when you get hold of your numbers and actually understand the profitability of your business, which is amazing. It still buzzes me out. And I feel, you know, I feel it's great that we can serve people in that way.
The changes that Profitable Trading have made to my quality of life, my just well-being overall, is giving me some semblance of sanity that my business is going to be okay. I have this to do. I have this to do. I have this to do, but it doesn't all have to be done today. We're making progress with this, this, and this, and this. And then when I go to bed at night, I know that my team that I've built, which, you know, we don't take time to celebrate. I've built a team. I'm building a team, and I have a team of support. Like, my mindset is just growth oriented now. And I've found it a lot easier to turn off when I get home. Basically, what it means is, this program has given me the ability to put myself in business mode and in home mode, and I'm working on being in friend mode again. And in that process, I'm also able to kind of reconnect with myself. I really just went on this journey a while ago mentally to just kind of figure out who I am with regards to, like, where do I really want to be in life? What do I really want to do in life? What is my goal for this life? My goal has always been looking out the window, wondering what's out there for me. So I started my business. I did a terrible job at it. I didn't go to college to be a business owner to learn financials. So when I found Profitable Trading, I go, hey, this is friggin' awesome. I know how much this is going to cost for me to run a successful business. And the track record has absolutely proven that. So where I was to where I am today, I still have a long way to go, but I don't want to be without you guys. Like, as much as crazy as it sounds at the beginning, you're like, I can't do this with these guys. And now I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to do this without you guys. So it's wonderful. It puts you in a place to be with. You never want to be the smartest person in the room, because then you're just you're peaked, you're plateaued. You want to be surrounded with people that can bring you up.
Yeah, super important. I mean, you've got to stand on the shoulders of giants, it's incredibly powerful to learn from people who are further down the road. And I think it provides a lot of encouragement as well, because I think something we've talked about as well is that the belief, you know, when you're stuck in the hole, as it were, you sometimes lose belief that this is actually possible and that it'll ever happen for you. And that's a really dark place because you're without hope. And I think those people who are further down the road really help, you know, give you that hope that, yeah, it's going to happen and you can see how it's happened and you know what you need to do to make it happen, which I think, you know, in your situation and in many people's situations, actually switches your mindset around and you're able to do what you need to make things happen.
Yeah, and what I'll say to that is, you know, I think we all have these struggles, and I think that, you know, a huge portion of me coming out on my own, you know, a part of me was looking for validation. Oh, hey, look, Mitch started his own business. Like, I needed some sort of validation. And, you know, I've really gotten to the point in my life where this, I don't really drag for that. I mean, a part of me is always going to want to be, you know, congratulated or whatever. That's not going to die for me, but it's not why I wake up in the morning anymore. My real goals are to make sure that I'm leaving the imprint on my family's glass of a great human being that ran a business. I want to be the father that I didn't have growing up. I want to be the friend that I wanted growing up. I have the pathway to be the human being I want to be now based on the freedoms, the liberties, the tools and the training that this program really opened up for me in my life. And getting to the place where I am today, knowing that the business is working, there's highs, there's lows, there's everything in between, but I'm working towards a better tomorrow every day. And I have it written down in a plan for the 6 weeks for the long term. And every day I'm making small gains. I'm leaving the footprints in the sand. And when I look back, man, we came a long way. We've done this to this point. This is all sweat, tears, blood, you know, just hard work. And you're not selling it as it being easy. You're selling it as being a path to success. And that's exactly what it is. And what success is to each person is what you want it to be.
And the cool thing is, Mitch, this will get better from here for you as well. Like, the best is yet to come for your business. Mate, there's been a bunch of cool things that you've done, and you've worked really hard at some things. And I'd like to just look at a few things that have made a huge difference for you, and maybe you can share some of that those lessons that you've learned, that wisdom, with the listeners. First off, you've obviously made some really good gains in revenue, you know, since we started working together. It's sort of more than doubled. So what have been the drivers of that revenue growth for you?
The drivers for me that have, you know, improved my revenue stream would be, you know, hiring team, you know, getting another truck on the road. My numbers really started to go up once I provided, you know, the tools and the truck and everything like that. So, I mean, drivers for me, I would say, would be learning the numbers first and foremost, back costing all the jobs, getting, and I'll be completely honest, like, I price them with the cheat sheet most of the time. One of your awesome tools. I'll put in the numbers that are pretty close, and I'll put in the numbers that are pretty close, erring on the high side. I'll put the margin in the high side, and I'll look at the number and I'll go, man, I don't think I'm going to get this job. And then I'll add $200 and I'll send the invoice. And then they send back, when can you start? And I go, oh man,
winning.
but the thing is like, the drivers for me were getting my reviews up, getting my confidence up, being okay with getting 40% of the jobs, learning that I would have to lose 20% or more of my business to even have my higher prices make any kind of difference in my numbers at all. So from when I first started, I was doing, you know, let's say a simple task for $3,500. I was back costing that job, and I was looking at it and I would say, man, I'm not making any money on that job. If I put it into the spreadsheet and I look at it, it's supposed to be $5,200. So right off the rip, I'm really far off with where I should be. And then when I look at the industry standard, or if I call like a local competitor and I say, hey, I just need a base price, I'm trying to budget for this, and they're even still higher than that, I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm in the running. I'm in the running, and that number makes sense to me now. I'm going to go with this number. Prior to Profitable Tradey, you know, I'm like, oh man, this number is too high. I can't even charge this much money. And then, you know, when you come to find out what things cost and what people are expecting and what you provide to them with the scripts and the follow-ups and the contact and the value-added packages that you're sending out, or, you know, just follow-up, follow-through and all that stuff, you say, you know what, man, it really is worth what I'm charging. And if you don't think so, guess what? You're not my customer. And it took me a while to get into the mindset with not everybody has to be my customer. Not every job has to be my job. And then I think of where I was, you know, a couple of years ago. I'm like, you know what? That's a job for the new guy. He can, you know, I've got a referral for you. Actually, this kid's really good. Call this guy. And, you know, I'll send those jobs that are just, you know, low margin or low value. Or if the person doesn't hit my pre-qualifiers on the script, I'll say, hey, you know, we're booking out 2 to 3 weeks right now. I know that this kid, you know, just started up. He can probably get to you. But that's the thing too, is like, if they insist that you work with them or whatever it comes, then your number just becomes more validated. Like, no, we saw your Google reviews. We want to work with you. And then you don't want the job. You just add the numbers to it. And then that's just something that you learn with experience being on the numbers of the business.
Yeah, there's some jobs that you really want your competitors to get.
Yeah.
Just quietly.
Oh, my God. There's so many of them. I have a working relationship with, you know, several other, you know, tradesmen. My honestly, it's really nice. The other, like a week or two ago, I needed to borrow a man lift, a scissor lift, a hoist, you know, for a job. And I met this father and son duo at the supply house. And I just said, hey, I want to let you know that, you know, I really appreciate you guys. And I'm not here to compete with you. Like you know, I bid a job against them and I saw that number and I go, I'm not even going to compete with that, because it wasn't a great job. So I sound like a good guy at the same time. But at the same time, I was being a good guy, because I was like, oh, at that number, how do you make money? And then at the same time, I made a friend, because they have a man lift, and I called them and they let me borrow it. And I'm like, but I mean, it's just about being a good person and knowing where you are in life. But, you know, I'm trying to tell them the same thing, is like, hey, this is what I'm charging for this, you know, home run of a job for us. Like, you know, this is a common job. This is what I'm charging. And they're like, oh no, we're at this number. And I'm like, dude, you're losing $1,000 easy a job. And they look at me and they go, well, that's been working for us. And I go, it can work better. And I mean, I don't want to bid against you, but you know, and then after I borrowed the lift from them, they said they raised their price like $500 and they're still getting the work, no problem. And I'm like, thanks for letting me borrow your lift.
let's a rising tide lifts all boats, which is something that I'm really passionate about as well, because it's people, sort of bottom feeders, the pencil sharpeners, who actually make it difficult for everyone. And the reason they do that is because they don't understand their financial numbers. They don't understand the fact that they have no time, that they're stressed out all the time, is due to the fact that they're not making any profit. Because margins are critically important. So I think your lesson there around building the capacity of the business, getting more people on board, more tradespeople, technicians, obviously helps grow the business, because often there's a lot of work there that we're not actually even getting to and we don't realize it because we just don't have the ability to do it. Obviously, your reviews, getting your online presence up is really powerful as well. And pricing, like you can do a lot more revenue if you get your pricing right, because pricing increases are literally, they're just money for jam. Like they're straight to the bottom line, which makes a huge difference. Is there anything else you've done to drive the revenue?
Things that have really moved the needle as far as revenue goes is just making sure that I'm enjoying the lows. The lows are areas where I used to be like, oh man, I need this job. I'm going to price it so low that I just need to keep the guys going. And then at the same time, I would take that job, and then while I'm doing it, you know, five other more profitable jobs come on. I might miss one because I'm at capacity or things like that. So basically when things get slow, because it's inevitable, if, you know, time to time things get slow. So now when the guys get low, I don't go out and chase down those people that didn't want to pay or lower my prices. I have them clean the shop, or, you know, clean my yard, or you know, basically just keep them busy, keep their paycheck coming, because they're relying on me, and you know, maybe run some errands for me, or give them a paid day off that, you know, isn't in the scope of their, you know, package or whatever. But you know, I do my very best to move the needle by keeping the team as happy as I can, by keeping my prices solid, by enjoying every time it gets slow, I take that time and I use it to build the business. I stay out, you know, I'll go look at a couple jobs, I'll meet some new people, I'll see what's on the list of things that I need to do that are high value tasks, and go, yes, I have 2 days where I can actually work on the business and nail down some of these difficult things. Moving the needle for me was hiring an office admin who just makes all the phone calls. And then, you know, hiring an office admin gave me more power at the end of the day in my social battery. Because if I'm talking to you and I'm talking to the customers and I'm talking to people and I've got a 12-volt battery that just drains and drains and drains and drains and drains, and that thing's been spinning the motor all day. When I get home and my kids want me to play with them and flip them and whatever, and I'm just like slumped over in the chair and my couch and my recliner like your typical, you know, American dad, I'm like, this is not why I did this. It's not. It really isn't. So I mean, moving the needle for me in a lot of different places is getting my social battery charged again. Like today, my office admin made probably 12 phone calls while I was on the tools. I got trapped in the tools a little bit, half day off the tools, half day on the tools. And then obviously I have this wonderful time here with you that's planned and scheduled, and I'm not stressed. Like, this is great. So moving the needle for me is a number of different things. Moving the needle financially, moving the needle spiritually and personally is really just things that I've been able to do. I've been able to get back to the gym. I've been able to join a gym that I can swim at, and they actually have a childcare center. So I do. I love to swim. I swam in high school 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago now. But I've always wanted to join a gym that was too expensive for me, and that was a thing of the past. Now I've been at that gym since, I think it's October, almost November now. I've been at that gym since February, and I swim 4 to 5 times a month, which is not a number that I like, but at the same time, I'm still swimming. And when you look back, just keep swimming. Like, it's fun. I've been able to put myself in a situation where 1 or 2 days a week, if I can get my 4-year-old to jiu-jitsu with me, I started training with him as a way to, like, you know, bond and stay together. And, you know, those are moving the personal needle as well. Like, the financial needle is something that happens over the course of this process with Profitable Tradie. And I think the thing that most people don't talk about is how much mental stress, like,
there's something powerful there too, because when you're stressed and the business puts a lot of pressure on you, the stress responses, and I've found that in my life at various times as well, is that things that, you know, otherwise, you know, actually quite enjoyable and things you want to do just become a burden, because you're, like you said, your social battery, your energy is completely drained out, and there's just nothing left for anyone else, because there's nothing left of yourself. And so I think that's a really powerful lesson. Mitch, I love the admin side of things. When did you know that it was time to get help with office work?
I knew that it was time to get help with office work when things just started slipping through the cracks. The follow-ups were not happening as good as I needed them to. The numbers were kind of stagnant around, I don't know, $50,000 or $60,000 a month. I was kind of just stagnant, and I was missing phone calls. I was missing follow-ups. I was missing birthdays and just things like that. And they're in my calendar, but I don't have time to look at the 10 different calendars. You know, if you know, I have job software, I have my personal calendar, you know, there's just too many things that are going on. And then the main driver for me with the admin was, hey, I'm going away for just 2 or 3 days to go to Louisiana for boot camp. So that additional stress on me was like, I can't turn off for 2 days during the week. I have a business to run. And then in those 2 days, or a week prior to getting to Louisiana, you know, my office admin that I just hired, she's wonderful. She's a rock star. Her name is Kelly. She's great. And, you know, self-starter, self-motivated, incredibly reasonably, you know, cost-effective. But I was just missing things. Like, the driver for me was, I was missing things.
It's incredible, isn't it? Because there's a bunch of stuff that you didn't realize wasn't happening. and then you think it's only a small thing. It's like, oh, it's a little bit of invoicing I do, or a few phone calls here and there. But actually, when you add them up, it's of a massive amount. And then there's a whole lot of stuff, like I said, it just doesn't get done at all. I guess what I'd love to know, mate, is, you know, man, in this situation, there's a lot of people stress about getting help in the office. What were the reservations that you had about hiring someone to help with the admin?
Oh man, this is not billable time. Where does this money come from? How do I justify this cost of this person that's not working and making money? And that's just a poor mindset towards it. Like, I mean, realistically, I don't know how I could live without Kelly right now, to be honest with you. She does the things that I know I need to do without me thinking about them. We go over our stuff at the beginning of the day, and then at the end of the week, I get a list of reminders of stuff I need to do, starting from my office hours the next week. So every week I get a list of things I need to do. Those are my daunting tasks. Those are my high-value tasks that she cannot do. Everything else she's doing. She's giving me back, you know, I think she's working, you know, between 20 and 30 hours a week, and then with those 20 or 30 hours a week, I'm getting 30 or 40 hours back, because every time I stop to do those things or answer that phone call or write that follow-up email or I guess the main thing that was hard for me too, and it was bad for my team, I have this expensive scheduling job management software, and I don't have the time to enter the things in every single day and schedule the next week or have the schedule in front of me when I'm talking to my customers. Kelly's job is to just call and chit chat and be humble and, you know, provide that face and value that I would personally provide myself. The script is, hey, we'd love the opportunity to work with you. You know, how can we be of service? Blah, blah, blah. This is what we need. Oh, yeah, we can definitely take a look at that. Mitch has XYZ available next week. Let me schedule you in for that slot. How does that sound? And then I'm not there doing that. And it's just happening in the background. But that conversation has to happen. And that message that comes into me that somebody picks up and runs with is, you know, it's basically turns into money, because I was at $55,000, $60,000, just stopped, dead stopped, like just plateaued. Don't know what happened. And then took Kelly on. Kelly's got jobs going. She's lining up the next week. The guys are less frustrated because they see their week ahead is all planned. It's all in the job management software. It's not perfect. And that's the other thing too that I wanted to stress. None of this shit has to be perfect at implementation, but you have to take the step or nothing changes. If you change nothing, nothing will change. So that was the same thing that got me into Profitable Tradie, is I was trying, I was dying. I was dying and I was lying, because there was nothing I could change without the right roadmap or without the right tools. Nothing was going to change. I was headed into a dumpster. Seeing how much is possible by doing just small implementation, small things, and implementing tiny, tiny pieces over and over and over again, you're climbing that rung. You're making those rungs 6 inches apart rather than a foot.
That's right. Now, Mitch, you talked about the revenue being stalled at sort of 55,000-60,000, and you got Kelly on board. How did that change what you're able to achieve revenue wise?
Oh my God. So I think last month I had my highest month, and it feels so weird to talk about numbers, but I know that we're surrounded by the right people here. So when I started, I was like just stopped and absolutely grinding, when I started $1 million Tradie at, you know, making 40 grand, maybe occasional 45 with like a real good job. But that was me doing everything, all the work, turning all the screws, answering all the calls. And it was exhausting. The part of the puzzle for me is having guys on the tools, even if they're not doing it as good as I would do it. Like, and that's the hardest part for me. The hardest part for me was understanding that even if they do, if I train them to do it 80% as good as I'm doing it, that's probably still 80% better than the guys are, you know, puking out the product that we're installing. So anybody who I can hire that can do 75 to 80% of the quality that I can do is going to be a fit for our team. So once Kelly came on, she's very personable. She's very knowledgeable. She was one of my customers, so she'd been through my whole process. She had the feel. She knew what was going. It was kind of the perfect storm. I was stressed to take on that additional cost. taking on her cost has grown me from, it's taken me out of that stall completely to last month. Not counting all the numbers, if Jeff even listens to these podcasts anymore, but without counting the cash, I mean, we're at $86,000 last month and we're on an upward trajectory each month.
It's a great result, man. I'm really stoked for you that you're seeing the fruits of those efforts. This one other area I'd love to sort of dig into, and I think you've done some really good work around getting your time under control and being more effective with your time. So what have you done differently in terms of how you manage yourself, in terms of your time so that things are better?
My time management has been strictly based on, you know, this concept that we have here at Million Dollar Tradie, and it's called your default calendar. And, the same way that I hope somebody's listening to this podcast right now hears me say this, you need help to make sure that this stays implemented, and you really need help to understand why this is such a game changer. So with my default calendar, setting my business hours and my on the tools, and then it's been able to allow me to schedule in time to be exactly who I want to be. My time management has been basically turned into something a little different recently because I've hit this mindset change where every time I'm on the tools, I'm not working on my business. I'm not getting the next job for the guys. I can't keep more guys. I can't get more guys if I'm working on the tools. My goal and my role right now is to build the business and keep getting the work until I get to the point where that's an estimator or that's a sales guy or whatever. But those are pieces of the puzzle that are further down the line. My time management now is getting to the point where I have the people in place that I don't have to be on the tools anymore. And, you know, the team around me is used to me being on the tools. So it's been a little bit of a struggle, but when, you know, we went away to Mexico, right, for the boot camp, which was amazing. The work was great because that was all work that I did building up to that week. But I realized when I took that week off, I wasn't getting any work, like very little work was coming in that, you know, fizzled through, kept the next week sort of afloat. And then I've had this like lull since we went to boot camp. So now that allows me to fill in those gaps. So like, why are we slow? What is slow? You know, and then I worked on marketing for 5 months by myself, trying to fix things that were not working. And then I closed that 6 week portion with, all right, this is not working. I need somebody to do this. And then insert Justine, my marketing admin. She's wonderful. She's revamping my website. She's working with the SEO. She's going to get everything up and running and bring that all together. And it's happening in the background while I'm doing other things. And those are not low value tasks by any means. Those are higher value tasks because those move the needle. The marketing and the income and all of that stuff, that was the hole that I didn't have running while we were in Mexico. I didn't have the work coming in while I was away. Those emails still need to come in. Those jobs requests still need to come in. So
I think that's pretty cool, actually, Mitch, is that it's very scary to take a break from our business to go away, whether it's a vacation or do something to actually work on improving your business knowledge. And we think the business is going to fall to bits. The cool thing about it is actually our business sometimes needs a rest from us because it shows us what's not actually, you know, what actually doesn't work if we're not there.
My guys were crapping on me, man, when I'm going to Cabo, like, oh, great, you're going on vacation. I'm like, yeah, it's a vacation. Of course, we'd call it what you need it to be. When I got back, they're like, Mitch, can you leave more often, please? Get out, just leave us alone.
And you're not the first person I've heard say that. So I think that's pretty cool. Man, I'd love to just sort of wrap things a little bit and talk about mindset. So what are the key mindset changes that you've had to make to get the results and the success that you've had so far? Because I think there's been a lot that's shifted, you know, in you as a person.
Mindset is really the cognitive ability to be where your feet are, I would say. And with that being so dynamic as a business owner, you need to be on the job at your first quote with that person, and you need to be sharp. You need to be on your game. That has to be your intention when you're in that moment. So you have this new, you know, customer or client, whatever you want to call them. They're expecting you at your 100%. Now, you cannot be at 100% if you're not confident in your team, confident in your ability, and just basically understanding where your role is. So with me understanding where I need to be in each of my roles, whether it be business owner, tradesman, marketer, husband, father are really the things that I list in the wrong order, because my mindset is I'm doing this to be the best husband and father that I can be. And the business is a byproduct of me as a human being. So when I restructured my brain to understand that this doesn't work if my wife isn't behind me and if I'm losing sight of my children, this is not what I want to leave in this world. So mindset for me was I went on this journey to figure out what I was doing right and what I was doing not so right and what were just downright wrong. And for me to find the profitable tradie program, it allowed me to figure out how to make sure the business is not going to be one of those stressors. And it's given me the ability to take a step back from the business with clarity, because I know that things are happening now with team in place, which is wonderful to say. There is a team in place that can handle things. I have, you know, people that can do things with me, for me, you know, and that's humongous. That gives me the mindset to understand that, you know, rebuilding this relationship with the woman that I love, she's always been the woman I loved and she'll always be the woman I love. You know, these are things that I lost sight of while I was chasing this dream with really no boundaries. And anybody that knows me will tell you that, you know, I'll jump without checking how deep the water is. And that's stupid, but it's really been, you know, that's who I am. And I'm okay with a lot of the things. Sometimes I break my legs and sometimes I make a big splash, but it's cool. You know, that's me finding who I am is really what my mindset challenges were. I went on that journey to figure out where I wanted to land and whose feet I wanted to stand on and what traits and qualities did I want to be. And then every day I started practicing being exactly who I wanted to be for work, which is the guys want the schedule, the guys want this. That's not my strong suit. I am not organized. Sometimes I turn off. Sometimes I can't answer people. Insert Kelly. Kelly is personable while she is working and most likely while she is not working. So she's the perfect fit for that job.
I think that's an awesome thing you've said right there, which is I think what you're alluding to in terms of mindset is you realize that there's some things you're not very good at, some things you're very good at. And to grow a successful business is about actually filling in those gaps where you're not so good with people who have a certain set of skills that can actually build you up. And I've certainly seen that in what you've done, which is reaping some great rewards. And I think as business owners, the more time we can spend doing the things we're really good at, which for you is, yeah, it's big picture thinking is like taking action and then letting other people kind of clean it up a bit. I'm a bit like that as well. It makes stuff happen, which I think is a great insight, and that'll really help in the future as well. Now, obviously, we've talked about the $1 million tradie and stuff and coaching. What I'd love to know is what is the thing you've valued most about the help that you've received?
Oh man, the thing I valued most, there are so many things I value, from the camaraderie to the just general acceptance. And, you know, I've had some really high moments. I've had some really low moments. And, you know, just being in a safe space to be like, hey, this is where I'm at right now. I'm having a hard time. And I'm like, just expecting like, oh, man up, man up, man up. Like, you know, man up. I'm surrounded by people that are like, Mitch, you know, we've been there. You're going to get through it. Things are going to work out. This is, you know, put your effort where it needs to be. Everything in moderation is what I would say. And that goes with the business. That goes with your mindset. And I've stopped taking in so much information because I've read so many books and there's wonderful content out there. I needed time to like let the dust settle, let those rocks reform for me. Like what are my rocks? Like how am I going to re-solidify what I am as a person? How can I be the best father, the best husband, the best friend? And how can I learn to be a good business owner? You know, those are the rocks that I need in my jar, and make those things bulletproof. Make those things like just the foundation that we build our life on. And the $1 million tradie program has just given me the mindset and the path to really understand how those rocks fit in the jar and why they're in that jar the way they are. you know, really what I would give to anybody listening, because I was where you are if you're listening to this podcast prior to joining the program. If you don't change anything, just don't expect anything to change, and really let that sit and think about where you want to be and where you are now, and just know that there's a path. Tony's not paying for me to say this either. It's just, it's really coming from a place of love, and you know, without this program, without this path, I think I'd be working for somebody staring out the window again, and just, it wouldn't be what it is. I mean, I can say with my head on my shoulders today that I'm living a great life, and it's with purpose.
It's awesome, man. Mitch, this has been really fun hanging out, and I appreciate your honesty, your vulnerability about the challenges, the, you know, the highs and the lows of business and life. And that's really real. And I think as contractors, tradespeople, and typically blokes, because, you know, it's a pretty blokey industry, sometimes we don't do that, even though a lot of us are experiencing it. So I think listeners will really appreciate that, you know, that that vulnerability, and that'll really strike a chord for people. So, man, I think the other thing I'd love to say is really excited about what you've done, but I'm really excited about where you're going to go as well. And I think the best is yet to come, mate. All right, well, take care. We'll catch up real soon, man.
Tony, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.